Amen. All right, Father, we just thank you so much for an awesome time with you tonight. Lord, I praise you for all my brothers and sisters across the land and across the waters and all over, Lord. We just praise you that tonight we're coming into one accord with each other and you, Lord, and you're at the center of it. And we praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. I praise you, Lord, for allowing us this opportunity to get together. It seems like when we get on the fellowships that we're all in the same room, Lord. And that's just awesome how you permit, how you work this out, Lord. It's just awesome. And I thank you for it, Father. We're not alone. We're at each other's side. And it's awesome, Lord, the love that you have put in our hearts for each other, to pray for one another and to lift each other up and encourage each other. And we just praise you, Lord, that tonight's not going to be any different. And we ask, Lord, that all the gifts be in operation tonight. The gifts of faith, the gifts of healing, all the gifts, Lord. And I praise you for that, Father. I thank you for your angels, Lord, that go out and do the bidding when we pray. And I praise you, Father, for all the prayers that are answered tonight. I know all of them will be, because you're a great and merciful and gracious God, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for allowing us this opportunity. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Man, I feel better all over than I do anywhere else. It's good night tonight, boy. I'm going to tell you. Somebody in here shout, Jesus! Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. All right, if you love Jesus, smile. David, there you go. My brother. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? How about a testimony? Or a praise report? God is good all the time. Go ahead, David.
I just wanted to thank you all for your prayers for Abigail. Praise God, she gave us a full night's rest. She is doing so much better.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Abigail. In Jesus' name. She's a precious little sweetheart, she is. Thank you, Lord. All right, Vanita, go ahead.
Hi. I was just going to mention we have new neighbors that moved in next to us, in the house next to us. And hold on.
Is that them?
No. Yeah, that's the elf. Yeah, I gotta get him out of here.
Right. Okay. You need to do some hard praying, girl.
So they moved in next to us, and the first time I met them, I didn't know much about them, but I knew their sons' names were David and Noah, and I thought, that sounds, promising. So then the next time I met them, I found out they go to the Baptist church not too far away. So they're Baptist, but at least they're called. See if we can make them chosen.
What a chance to evangelize, huh?
Yeah. So I was pretty excited about that. And my husband, it was kind of funny. He's like, did you tell him that that we go to the Baptist church here? I said, well, I didn't really talk to him yet about it. And he said, well, did you tell him that we're a house divided? I said, no, I didn't tell him that either.
Not yet.
Not yet. No, you gotta all move over to this side. So praying for opportunities to meet them. They're really nice people. So I'm really excited. They've got two young boys that like to ride four-wheelers, and Nick is looking for somebody to ride with. So it'll be good company for him.
Okay. Praise the Lord. That'd be good. They don't care if they're Baptist, do they?
No.
Amen. Well, you know, that's they're brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what they are. Amen. That's what we've been talking about, unity and faith.
And, you know, praise I think the one good thing about it is because I have a Baptist background, I know where they're coming from. Like, if they'd been something else, I wouldn't know where to be, you know, anything about it. But I know about Baptists, so I'll know where to steer them, which teachings to steer them towards.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Patrick's having trouble. Let's get him on. Let's pray for him right quick. In the name of Jesus, we command that computer of Patrick's to get on Zoom and to stay on Zoom and not be knocking him off in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Can Greg talk now? I don't know. Is he supposed to? Go ahead, Missy.
I'm leaving Saturday to go spend some time with my family, and Sunday is the baby shower for Megan and Matt. And we call him Junior because they haven't told anybody what his name is yet. So Merle starts calling him Junior, so we call him Junior. Anyway, I don't think they're absolutely sure what they're going to name him yet, so they're not saying anything. So, but anyway, I just want to pray blessings on the baby shower. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, that the baby shower will be a blessed time with everybody, and that everything will go well, and just that Matt and Megan will really feel loved and not feel like they're the outcast, like I've been told that everybody has this opinion of. Thank you, Lord, for delivering them from this rejection and delivering them from all the power of the enemy, granting them repentance unto salvation and belief in you, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for getting me there safely and back, Lord. And I ask you to help me to just be sensitive to everything that I see and I hear, Lord. And that I would speak as an oracle of God. And that, Lord, I would see and hear everything as you see and hear it, Lord. Give me, I ask, a great discernment of all that's going on around me, Lord. And I ask for me to see open doors, Lord. Show me the open doors, Lord. And be led by your spirit to speak or to be quiet. In Jesus' name. And I ask, Lord, that whatever you give me to speak, Lord, whoever it may be, Lord, that you would go ahead and you would open their hearts and make their hearts soft, Lord, to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Lord, let them have a good time there washing that baby up at that baby shower. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, men don't go to baby shower. We don't know what y'all do. We figure you just shower them down. Get them cleaned up.
Baby showers aren't quite the same as they used to be.
Amen.
Men do attend occasionally, especially the daddy and the grandpa. Yeah. Oops.
Okay. How come I ain't never got an invite to one? They didn't want me around. All right, Neil, go ahead. Get me out of here.
I just wanted to praise the Lord. We prayed last ministry that God would kind of show me and Isaac what to do about getting that trailer for my mom. And I said, so that first night, either one of us had a dream. And then actually yesterday was kind of a difficult day because, you know, we wanted to, but we hadn't heard from the Lord. And so we were kind of, Isaac was being patient, and Isaac said he had to pray off the spirit of want. And so he said he didn't think about it anymore. And he's like, and I told Isaac, I was like, well, I said a prayer, like, Lord, if you don't want it to work out, then let it just be sold. And so we can't get it. And so anyways, we kind of just let it go. And then last I was praying to the Lord, and because I was kind of upset because I don't know, it was just a lot going on. It was kind of stressful, and we were talking about it, and we're like, well, if it's making us this stress, then maybe it's just not meant to be. Because there's so many, like, it's, you know, my brother and his wife, and then me and my husband and my mom, we're all trying to coordinate, and it was just a lot going on. So anyways, I said a prayer, and I was like, Lord, just do something, show me something. And then I had a dream last night and I'd been reading my word, and I had a dream that there was this apartment building, and my mom lives in an apartment, but it was weird because it was like in a warehouse, but it was at like the top of like a warehouse. And my mom had previously lived in it, but now there was a young man living in it, and there was all kinds of demons trying to get in through the windows. And this man that was living in it was just so afflicted, and it was just constantly day and night being just abused by demons. And I remember I looked to my mom, and my mom was so thankful. She goes, I'm so glad I got out of there. Well, she was so thankful that she got out of there. And I woke up, and I was kind of foggy, and I was like, Lord, bring back to me the recollection of the stream. And then it just kind of hit me, and I was like, okay, I got to call Isaac. So I called Isaac, and I told him, and Isaac goes, Jamie's like, I feel like that's a pretty straightforward dream. And I was like, yeah, I was like, I mean, I feel pretty good about it. And he was like, well, let me just call and see if this place, because somebody else was going to buy it. And apparently that it fell through, and the realtor was like, here it is, like, the last one fell through. So anyway, so we're going to move forward, and still praying and believing. And I know that our hearts are pure, and Isaac's heart is really pure, because he just wants to do it for mom. We've always wanted our mom just to be happy. And just her apartment where she lives is just like not good. Like, a lot of drug dealers and stuff around, and it's just, you know, Isaac said that he feels led on his heart that in the word it talks about, you know, honoring your father and your mother and to take care of the widow. And so she would be so much happier down here, and it's in a cute little area. It's a cute little RV trailer park, and they have like a little swimming pool, and it's like a 55 plus community, and it's just real safe, nice little place for my mom to be able to just be happy and chill out and feel safe. So anyways, I know the Lord is going to guide us through this whole process, and me and Morgan, we've already said we'll go and fix it up because it needs some tender love and care. So we've already agreed to do that. And anyways, I just want to thank the Lord for giving me that dream, and for always being faithful to us when we ask, and just all the time.
Amen. Well, thank you, Lord, for answered prayer. You know, when we pray, we have to keep believing until we endure. We have to endure in our faith until we, you know, get it manifest. Praise God, he did. Thank you, Lord. Well, good. Pat, you got on, brother.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I'm on my iPad. I don't know what happened. I'm still not able to do it on my laptop.
Oh.
I don't know. I'll play with it and see what happens.
Okay. Yeah, Marilyn, go ahead.
Back to Geneva's dream. Geneva, did you say that the place where the young man was that had all the demons, was that the apartment that your mom had been living in?
So it was an apartment of some sort. It didn't look like the apartment she lives in now, and it didn't look like the trailer. Right. Yeah, it was, it was like this dark top apartment in the middle of this warehouse.
But she had lived there before, you said?
Yeah.
I'm not saying this is a thus saith the Lord, but what was coming to me is I believe that man with the demons is symbolic of her old man. And she's going to get set free of that. She's going to move. I just believe the Lord's going to get your mom set free because, you know, y'all have been praying for her for a long time.
Yeah.
And she's going to, you're going to have more fellowship with her one-on-one. And you're going to have a chance to share the real gospel. And your mom's going to get, she's going to get a real revelation about death to self.
Amen.
And that's a very good dream.
Thank you, Marilyn. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. That's awesome. I didn't really even think, I thought about something like old flesh, old man, but I kind of was just, you know, so thank you for bringing that to light. That's definitely what
it is. It's not me. It's not me, but I do believe the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Thank you.
Hey, while I'm unmuted, I want to say happy anniversary, my beloved and I. We've been together since way back when, and we've been married for 40 years today.
Oh, my goodness.
I am really thankful.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord.
Really, really thankful.
Yeah.
And also went through kind of a little trial today. It's been really hot and dry up here. And this afternoon, it got really dark. But when you look at the radar, there was no rain out there at all. And then it started lightning. And, you know, that's something, you know, when it's been so hot and so dry, and the dry lightning is what will start the fires. And I called Julie and we started praying and it just looked scary outside. It looked like I've never seen it. The sky was just a weird color and really dark. It just looked really weird. But anyway, we began to pray and pray against dry lightning and pray the rain in. And we didn't get much rain, but you know what? We got a little rain and it cooled the temperatures off. And I looked at the radar and you could see, you know, the history of the radar, and it went from being absolutely no rain in our area or even our part of the state. And then just boom, there it was. It just formed up so almost immediately. And so I want to praise the Lord for that. And I thank the Lord for, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ that will come pray with you. And God bless Julie for being my sister in Christ.
Amen. Well, happy anniversary, y'all. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. In this day and time, you need medals when you hit that mark. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to God. Amen. That's awesome. Okay. Anyone else? Yes, Andrew.
Well, I got another letter from my sister. So it's not a very good letter. So I prayed. I was a little disturbed when I first read it, and I had to pray for her. And of course, today I realized that if you were to change the words, well, I'm just not even going to say that. Because it's not a nice letter for about UBM. And I prayed that the Lord would have mercy upon her. But on a good half, my son texted me this morning saying that I have to pray for my daughter because she's thinking of buying a house somewhere. He didn't finish the text. So what I see from that is my son getting some discernment that perhaps his sister shouldn't be preoccupied with the world now. So that's pretty good for someone who's just come to the Lord, and I think it was in March. And so he's still with the Lord. And I would like the Lord to have mercy upon my sister, Christina Gibson. And so I did pray for her. And I just would like people to agree with me on prayer that Christina would have mercy and perhaps even a dream. We know these dreams work on my son anyway. So I'd like for her to get a dream on whatever the Lord thinks he should do. For her and for all my family. In Jesus' name I pray. So I've prayed to the Lord also that that she be drawn to him. I placed her and her husband before her before the Lord's feet, and all her family, her two daughters and her daughter's boyfriend and her new granddaughter that she has. And I got to make testimony because my brother phoned me last night and asked me why I didn't take COVID shots. So I got to have a good testimony with him and told him why I believe in something different. And I don't hold it against them. So I got to make a really good testimony on what I believe, who I believe in, and gave them a few samples from the Bible there on what I believe and why I believe in this word, because it's the word of God. I don't see anywhere in history in the past 2,000 years that it's changed for me to believe something different. I did tell them that, it's been 2,000 years. There's a lot different. And then he said, oh, well, I already got shot twice, And then I just said, well, maybe you should pray to God that you get no side effects from it. He is, I don't know where he stands. I don't know if they're saved. I don't want to speak badly. If he is, the Lord knows where he's at. I have this charismatic brother. I know he knows something about salvation, but what he knows, I don't know. And that's where I'm at. There's some of the Lord working there, and he's used me to make a good witness, and we all have to be good witnesses. So praise God. Glory to God. All glory to God for everything that has happened. Amen.
Amen, Andrew. We do. We hook our faith up with you for your family, your sister especially, that the Lord would see fit to bring her into the kingdom in a mighty way. And Father, we thank you for it. We all pray for our loved ones back home that for whatever reason they don't believe like we do. But that's okay. We know at some point in time they will. And we praise you, Father, for doing that for all of the ones that we have been praying for. In Jesus' name, amen. Give us the faith, Lord, to believe that. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Yeah, George, go ahead, brother.
I just want to add my faith to Andrew's, and I'm just getting a picture of joy. I'm just thanking God for the blessing of so many family members in Andrew's family and in all of our families. There's so many of them, Lord, that you're granting grace unto repentance. Even ones who have followed sorcery to go and get those shots, Lord, that you're making a way where there seems to be no way. And Father, I feel like this is kind of a Red Sea moment where all the gods of Egypt are being judged. And so, Father, we thank you that all of the medicine and the wisdom of Egypt is being drowned in the Red Sea, that Moses did not rely on what he grew up knowing in Pharaoh's household, but he relied on a covenant-keeping God. And Father, I just thank you for joy. I thank you that we can sing the song of victory on this side of the Red Sea. Before we see the victory, we can go ahead and shout about the horse and rider fall into the sea, Lord. Hallelujah. That it's not the strength of horses, and it's not by might, Lord, but by your Holy Spirit, and that you are wooing and you have your hooks in all of our loved ones, Lord. And we thank you for the mighty Holy Spirit, the great evangelist who wins every battle that he enters into, Lord. And we thank you for the sweetness of the kingdom of God that they're going to taste and see that you are good. So, Father, we just thank you right now that whether it's a child that leads them or whether it's the men of these families that take leadership and go through the battles of getting down on their knees by an example and humbling themselves and leading their families to the only living God. Father, we lift you up and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that none of our families are going to be taken away from your kingdom, Lord, but you're going to win them every single one, and that you're going to make us sanctifying influences that go to the end, Lord. We're going to be faithful to the end. And we thank you that as we just stay in your presence, that you are taking care of everything that pertains to our lives, every care of our hearts, Lord. You knew it before we can even ask you. You're giving us the answers. So we just thank you for the joy, Lord. I thank you for every face that in our families that we're going to get to see them saved, Lord. That we're going to see the joy of the Lord on them, Lord, and all the burdens and the worries and every care of unsaved loved ones, Lord, that we're not going to even say that word anymore because they are saved from the foundation of the world. You knew them and you called them and you are saving them mightily, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord.
Glory.
For doing that for all of us. In Jesus' name, we hook our faith up with George and we believe, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
You know, in that letter, she did actually ask for prayer.
Praise the Lord.
It just dawned on me as soon as George went into his prayer. Wow.
Praise God. Amen. Well, there's a little ray of hope. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else?
I don't know how to raise my hand on here. They upgraded. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Here's the way I do it, Barbara. I just do like
I know,
this.
I know, but I'm incognito, so you can't see me do that. But anyways, okay. I have a quick testimony. I just thought it was so cool. The Lord had given me another dream over my son, and it was an encouraging dream. I came home and he was preparing a big feast, a big turkey meal and lasagna and everything. And he was in a right state of mind, so happy. And I just took that as, yes, Lord, I know you're going to restore him and we're going to have fellowship again. And this is the second time I had a dream now, you know, because we've been estranged from one another for 2 years now. So, and you know, that, you know, sometimes I get a little melancholy on that, but the Lord's been encouraging me. And, you know, I know that day's coming soon and I'm just excited. I'm just happy. I'm glad for that dream that, you know, he's going to restore our relationship. And I just praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing Amen. That for Barbara's son. We praise you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's awesome, Barbara. Okay. I thought I saw somebody raising their hand. Was that you, Benita?
No, I was just clapping for Barbara.
Oh, okay.
But I do have another praise report if I can sneak in here.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Well, my daughter was, she works for Amazon and she's out of San Francisco, but she was trying to get she was interviewing for a job in Seattle and she was really excited about it, really thought that was the right thing for her. And then they said that if you come into the office here, everybody here is vaccinated. So you have to get vaccinated. And my heart just dropped. I'm like, no, because she's not like anti-vax, like I want her to be, but she's not. So she would probably do it if she had to. But I just went right into prayer that night. And it's like, I want her to have a job there because she wants to go there, but I don't want her to get vaccinated. So I wasn't exactly sure what to pray, but I just left it up to the Lord. And she ended up not getting the job, which, you know, that's okay. I'm good with that. And then we found out today that Amazon, they don't go back to work until January in the office, at least for now. They've extended it to January. So she for sure won't, I don't think we'll have to get one until then at least. And who knows then by then what'll happen. So little steps here, but just want to praise the Lord for just, I mean, obviously he's sovereign and he knows exactly what's right for her. And I can trust in that. And I praise him for that, for just that knowledge and comfort that I don't have to worry about that. Amen.
Amen. Hopefully by that time we'll have a new government and it's all to blow away.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? All right. Anybody got something they'd like to talk about tonight? Hey, Claire. You snuck in, didn't you, Gal? All right. Yeah, Pat.
Hey, I got back on.
I see. Awesome. Interesting
thing happened this morning. I woke up at 3:30, which is an hour before I usually get up. And couldn't go back to sleep. And I was, number one, I was worrying about, I don't know what it was, like the schedule of, I just switched over to another job and I'm still finishing up one job and they've got me starting another one and I'm bouncing back and forth to both jobs, et cetera. And for whatever reason, it dawned on me this morning at 3:00 when I woke up that we only have 4 months to do this job, this particular job. And which is about, it's about 2 months too short. And I don't know why it, so anyway, that was only one thing. So I got up and I started, got down by the side of my bed, start praying for God to take the concern, the worry, the whatever away. But the other thing that hit me when I woke up was I had just the words on my mind when my eyes open, baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I never thought about it. I didn't know where it was going or what I was, you know, thinking about. So I, you know, got up, took a shower, and I had an extra hour to spend with the Lord. So I clicked on the message last night, and I was so blessed by and I haven't finished yet, but the whole concept of prayer for revival that Michael was going through. And after I got to thinking about it, I was listening to the various different prayers and the examples and, you know, all through from the 1700s up through the 1800s, Again, I haven't finished it. I hope we get into some of the stuff that Finney was doing in the mid-1850s, 60s, somewhere around in there. But anyway, it dawned on me that baptism of the Holy Spirit, it came back as I got to thinking about that. And I got to thinking about how we tend to, I don't know if you do or not, but I tend to compartmentalize or maybe think about when I hear the word or the term baptism of the Holy Spirit, I think of a specific time, or maybe a one-time event. You know, like Pentecost and kind of take it as a, you know, a one-time event. Like a lot of times when you're, you know, talking with people and you might even ask them if they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, if they've received the Holy Spirit, et cetera, because you kind of take it as a certain, you know, like one-time event, and that tends to then set you in another frame of mind or a frame of reference of how to speak to the person. But what I was thinking today is, especially when I was listening to these examples of revival, and I didn't get the chance to actually go back and read 2 Chronicles 7:14 again, which is, you know, kind of the traditional revival chapter. But it's just kind of generally, and I it's good to go back and read that just to think about the process and what God is really saying in that. If my people, which are called by my name, you know, God didn't say, you know, back in those days, he didn't say if the Jews or if Christians or if, he just said, if my people who are called by my name. If you think about that, just that term, how many varying flavors of Christianity are there out there in the various denominations? And if you think about that promise, God didn't say specific, he said people that are called by my name. That's a very wide gamut. That's a very wide net. There's a lot of people out there, a lot of Christian denominations that are called by God's name, called by Jesus' name. And I just, as I thought about that and the results of that, it's like, that is like that's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some of these things, these examples that Michael's talking about in this letter, are literally God's Spirit baptizing a group of people. And they changed completely. They things turned upside down. God baptized them, flooded them with his Holy Spirit. And I just thought, you know, isn't it interesting if we think about, like, again, just that point, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and think of it in like a one-time, specific thing, one time in our life or whatever, you tend to eliminate all the other potential baptisms in the Holy Spirit that God has given us in the scripture. This one in 2 Chronicles 7:14, for one. And I got to thinking about it, you know, our non-baptized brothers and sisters that are called by the Lord's name, they tend to believe that you, once you repent, become a Christian, you receive everything you're going to need, you know, that you don't need anything else. All you need is this written word, and you've got everything you need from that point on. Well, just that frame of reference, just thinking that way, think about what that does. When you say, I don't need anything else, then you automatically put yourself in a box, and you now no longer, you have cut yourself off from any desire or any need or any searching or seeking, any question whatsoever, to pursue something farther than, more than what you have right now. And you cut that off. You cut even that thought process off. You don't even think about it because you've already cut it off. And I wonder if we tend to do the same thing with the words baptism in the Holy Spirit, because I want to receive these, like these examples of the revivals of the past. I want to look into 7:14, 2 Chronicles 7:14, where he says, if my people will humble themselves, that God is giving us, I'm going to back up for a minute. The last few days, I have to say, I have been getting somewhat, I'm not going to say discouraged, but maybe downhearted of the incredible flood of evil that is unleashed upon our country and upon the world. And it's like it just keeps coming. You knock something down and something is there to replace it right now. And I get up tomorrow morning, and even if you turn on the news, we are going south fast as a nation and as a world. And I think I look at these scriptures that God is giving us a way to turn back the tide, to fight, because we with the such ignorance in society, you know, in society, there's just a great amount of a lack of knowledge, a famine of the word of God, of truth, of common sense, of everything. It's just, it's a desolation of our nation. And you get a little bit discouraged by, you know, binding that particular demon and casting him down. And I know we have to do that, and we have to continue on, and it probably will never stop. But I think God has something bigger for us. I think he has something. There's a promise for us. I'm getting kind of emotional when I think about it. There's got to be a promise that these people locked into, that open up the floodgates of heaven and unleash an overwhelming flood of righteousness against this evil apparatus of today. There's got to be. I believe that God has it for us. And I think these I think if you haven't listened to these recounts of revival and everything that Michael is reading, I would encourage you to do so, because go back to read revival lectures and revival accounts by Finney. Is just amazing when the Spirit of God comes upon a person and comes upon people. And I'm thinking not just one person. There was a Finney and a John Wesley and various individuals that God brought through history, and we saw miraculous things happen with one man. What about a body? What about a body of people? If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, God gives us the steps. Humble yourself, seek my face, pray, turn from your wicked ways, whatever he shows us, exactly what Evan Roberts went out and preached. Turn from your wicked ways, whatever God shows you, and God will bless us with his Holy Spirit, a baptism of his Holy Spirit. I believe it. I believe he will. So anyway, it just kind of hit me with a little bit different vein today, that just the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God is wanting to baptize us all with a new vision, a new relationship, a new sense of his presence and everything. So I just feel, even in the midst of a discouraging environment, I feel that God has given us the opportunity and the way to do it, to come to him. So anyway, I'll shut up. And that's all I wanted to say.
Well, that's good. We have, as a matter of fact, you know, what I do every day, and I don't do it every day, I try to do it every day, is ask for a refilling of the Holy Spirit every day in order to make the day, in order to know what to pray for, in order to know what to do for that day. And you're exactly right. There was, like J. Edwin Orr said, there's no revival. It was somebody else, I forget his name. But anyway, he said there's no revival that ever was started. It wasn't started because of prayer. And that's exactly what we've been praying for, is revival. Revival. This great revival is fixing to start. It's not just going to be something that starts. It's going to be because of the prayers of the saints praying for it. And I would love to be, I would love to walk down the streets and see people hitting their knees and repenting because of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of repentance has come through a town or a village or whatever, you know, just like it did in many places back in past, you know. I'd love to see that, and we will. We're going to see it because of our prayers. And it's going to be what we've learned about in the past is just a little portion of what's fixing to happen. It's going to be the greatest revival on earth, not just in a little portion of earth, on earth that ever was or ever will be again. God's going to populate heaven, in my estimation. Well, that's what he said. He's going to populate heaven with it. This revival. And the people, like George was praying for before, the people that we've been praying for, that doesn't, you can look at them, and there ain't no way in the natural you can look at them and see anything of God in them but God. You could have looked at me 40 years ago, 30 years ago and said, that guy's headed for hell. Ain't no way he's coming into the kingdom. And probably everybody in here, I'll just say that, everybody in here is the same way. God's mercy and grace extends further than anything we can imagine in our mind. That's why he wants us to stay in the rest for our family. Andrew, I get letters from my daughter, probably similar to what you get from your sister. And I just, okay, praise God. I know she's coming in, so she just wasted her pencil, you know. But that's what we do. We rest in the knowledge that God's in control. My daughter's not in control. Your sister's not in control. Nobody's in control but God himself. And our prayers is the key. Our prayers is the key. And when we keep on praying for them and believing for them, they ain't got a choice. There's not a, ain't no choice. I'm telling you, they might be screaming and don't make no, never mind. They're coming in. Glory to God, they're coming in. Because God is going to put them in a place where they don't have a choice. And he's going to bring back to remember, he's going to bring back to their remembrance the things that we've said to them. I've said to both of my brothers, both of them are just as, well, anyway, I've told them both, I said, when the time comes, give me a call and I'll tell you what to do. Yeah, okay, Mike. Yep. Sure, I'll do that. I'm just saying, you got my number. And they'll call, Michael, I'm in this position. What do I do? It's your knees, brother. Go ahead, Missy.
Yeah, I'd like to. I don't want this to sound like a correction, but you said they won't have any choice. Well, in a sense, they will, but it'll be hard for them to not choose the Lord, because the Lord's going to make it awfully difficult. And it's kind of like Nebuchadnezzar got turned over the flesh, right? And they'll come crying uncle now, in a sense. But I had a dream about somebody the other day, and I realized what the Lord was telling me about this person was that. The Lord's turned them over to the flesh, over to leave them be, to bring them to the point where he humbles them, you know. So whatever they got to go through is fine by me, because I'm believing for their repentance. So. You know, don't be moved. Don't be moved by what you see. Because you got to believe your prayers are much more powerful than anything that Satan can do to any of your loved ones or where he can take them. Because the reality of it isn't, God uses Satan, you know, sovereign God. He uses Satan to get them to repent. You know, they gotta, he lets them dig themselves a big hole until they hate where they're at. They gotta hate their sin. You know, they gotta hate who they are. And when I'm saying this, I'm speaking from experience, you know. and this was even after I got saved. I had to hate where I was at. I had to hate who I was. I had to hate my sin. you know, and the Lord took me through a couple phases of that at least, you know. And so, you know, every one of us had to go through our things, and the Lord is going to use whatever he has to answer our prayers, you know, for our loved ones, our families, friends, whoever, you know. So don't be moved by what you see. Just know that the Lord's working. And he's bringing them to their knees. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. When I say they don't have a choice, if my prayers are correct and I'm right with God, Mark 11:24 comes into play. And when I pray and I believe what I receive, they ain't got a choice. They're coming in. Glory to God. That's what I mean. I know what you're talking about, Missy. And I'm not trying to. In my little old finite mind, the people that I have prayed for and I'm believing for, they really don't have a choice, because God's going to take them to a place to where they will cry out to God. And I believe that with all my heart.
Yep, that's what I meant.
Yeah, I thought so. I know you wasn't trying to correct me. I got this file, you know. I have this file, you know. I knew you would. Yeah, we're gonna see it. What is that? Okay. The Missy dossier. Okay, Greg. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Amen. It is, Dave. Yeah. Be careful, Missy. Go ahead.
I'll go a little bit.
Okay.
I'll go a little bit further. The D class. Oh, Lord. Thank you. We can laugh at ourselves.
Oh, boy. All right, anyone else? Anyone else on revival? How about dying to self?
I die daily.
We can only hope and pray, Claire. Praise the Lord. Me too. Me too. Thank you, Lord. I saw Rian on here a while ago. Oh, there he is. Yeah. Okay. He's here too. Praise the Lord. Yep. There he is. Thumbs up, Rian. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to add? I wrote something in my notebooks a while back. And it probably came from Andy, I don't remember. And it says, if I want love, I must seek God, for love is the very nature of God. God is love, and the love that I need is God himself. Oh, God of heaven, how I love you. You know how my heart delights in you. I may have been a Christian for 10, 20 or more years, praying for God to give me love. But there's something like a devil within me so that I can't love. What is this temper or this evil spirit? What is this coldness? Tendency, what is this coldness tendency in me? God will lead us to see what is at the root of it. And what is it? Just one word. Self. There's no cure for self but death. We must die to self. How can we do that? We can't kill ourselves. We can't be our own executioner. We can't nail ourselves to the cross. God alone is the death to self. And it must be God that does it. He allowed Christ to die on the cross. And then when Christ had died, God raised him up. That's the power that gets rid of ourself, isn't it? And that's why when God brings a man to see all that there is in Christ and to receive Christ fully, the power of Christ's death can come upon him and he can die to sin. And if he dies to sin, what happens? He dies to self. I thought that was pretty telling. God, when he died, when Jesus died, think of this. The Lord had the power to resurrect him, bring him up there, sinless life, spotless life, to do one thing. And that's to pray for us and to give us the power to overcome this self-life. And that's more or less what I wanted to say. When you think about the power that God, that Jesus breathed on us, gave us, and why we fail so much, why do you think it is that we do fail so much? I can tell you what it is in a lot of us. I'll just talk about myself. Go ahead, Judy.
I would say to answer that, for me, it would be my own self-efforts or my own perception of myself or where I think I should be in place of just agreeing with what God says.
But where does that power come from, Julie? It comes from where?
It comes from being in the Word. It comes from being in the Word and the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Amen.
Filling my mind with the truth. Yeah.
Yes. That's where it comes from. And that's a lot of times, like we've been talking about for the last few weeks, is distraction has kept us from getting that power to overcome self, the lust of the flesh, the vainglories of life, and all of those things that it talks about in the Word. All right, anybody else want to add to this? The self-life has to go, doesn't it? I know we've talked about this countless times. I know all of y'all have probably already defeated self, and that's so awesome. Yes, Claire.
I think the saving grace for me on this road is that the Lord is so gentle in his correction. And if he was to reveal how deep our sin is and how deep our self is all at once, we obviously just spontaneously combust. There'd be nothing over, right? It would just blow our minds. But that he will take away things that seem obvious, and then he'll maybe start working on things that are maybe obvious to others but less obvious to you, and then he'll just continue that refining work. And he must have I know he does. His word says he does. He's patient and he's slow to anger. But if I just look at me, like how patient he is with me, it's really very humbling. And it puts me in a point of absolute weakness because I really can't change without him. I can't change without his will in me. And that will come from obedience, and that obedience comes from wanting to do what the word says. And I mean, that's just, it's quite a tall order, isn't it? But it is very freeing because that's all that's required. There's nothing else that's required except that. But but that in itself is quite big. But he gives us grace, and he gives us, he's patient with us. And that's why we have to be in the unity of the Spirit and not look left or right and go, oh, but why do they get to drink some wine? Why can't I drink wine? Not that that's a problem for me. I'm just using an example. Or, you know, whatever it is, because we will compete and we will strive in ourselves and of ourselves at every point. But if we just keep on with the unity of the Spirit and be and wanting to do everything in love and wanting to count others better than ourselves, even when that is hard, then I guess we'll be okay. More than okay. We'll inherit the kingdom.
With fruit. Amen. That's very well said. All right, anyone else? Well, I guess you just settled it all, Claire. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Everybody's got it now. Next time we meet, everybody gonna be perfect. Thank you, Lord. Well, we all are. We're all sanctified in Christ, aren't we? We're all walking in faith. Thank you, Jesus. Get your knee down. What's the matter with you? All right. All right. Anyone else? What's the next great thing that's going to happen in the spiritual? Go ahead, Angelica. I was waiting on that.
Oh, my gosh. I was just going to ask, what was the question?
There was no question. It was just more or less a statement of what we have to do to die to self. You know, and I was just reading some stuff that I had in my notebook.
Well, I might have a little to share about, you know, what we need to do to die to self. I mean, I
go for it.
Here recently is just, you know, Isaiah 55, give up your thoughts. You know, they're your self is just always going to be contrary to the promise of God. It's always looking at self. And if you're always looking at self, you're never going to see Christ. And there's always an argument there, and there's no peace. And there's always an argument, but this, but that, but this, the other. And at the end of the day, you know, my experience here recently, I mean, it's just figuring out that you can do that for quite a long time and find yourself far from that narrow road, because you're just entertaining self that cannot be renewed and you know, in things of God. And you'll break covenant with God. You'll break covenant, because our covenant is to believe on him, you know, and you'll find yourself in a position that you just don't know where you got there. And that's where self will lead you, because, you know, self is full of justification of why it's okay to think this way, why it's okay to continue on this way. And if I just keep trying harder, you know, because it doesn't want to let go of the possibility of having no glory, of having no value, of having no this or no that. But we all know that when we do come to that place where we can let go of self, God just does it. And it's by his grace, and it's easy, and it's peace. And there's thanksgiving, there's praise, and it's just already done. But for some reason, self wants to live that life, you know, of torment, because, and that's just the old nature. You know, there's no defeating that, you know, there's no defeating that except for in Christ and in the mind of Christ and in covenant with God, you know, and he provided all things that we need if we will just agree with him, if we would just lay down our self-life, our self-thoughts, to just say, you know, just cry out to him, humble ourselves and say, Lord, I need you to do this thing called salvation that I have no part in it. I have no part in this. It's your power, your grace alone. You called me and I have no part except for to obey and to give my life a sacrifice, a service, my body, everything, mind, will, and emotions, soul, spirit, body, everything. And it's a commitment and it's a covenant that we can't break. And if we find ourselves off somewhere, we have to start from there again. Okay, where did I go wrong? Because a curse without cause shall not alight. But if you're under the curse, you better check yourself because you're under the curse. You know, that's just what I find in my own life. You know, like, whoa, yes, by faith, we're not under the curse. But when you are under the curse, you know, and you're believing by faith and it's not going, okay, check your heart. Go to God, humble yourself, because he may not be allowing you to figure it out, because that's the problem. Self always wants to try to figure it out. But he gives grace. He gives grace because he loves us. And it's unmerited. It's the most wonderful thing any person could ever have. It's peace. You don't have to deal with yourself. You know, self is quite worthless. It's a broken record. You know, each and every one of us has a part of ourself that we just cannot bear, you know, and we just thank God that we don't have to, you know. So that's it.
Very good. That was awesome. Yeah, George, go ahead.
I just been thinking, whose reputation are we concerned about if we are continually going back and just saying, God, this is your reputation on the line, and this life that you've given me is in your hands, and if I mess it up, your name's going to suffer because I'm not anything. And to be worried about his reputation is I think the only worry I should have is to not misrepresent him, not speak unless it's the oracles of God. That's a hard one. To agree with my enemy when I'm in the way with him. If they're going to sling mud, I'd rather it stick to me than stick to the one that laid down his life for me. And I don't want to bring a reproach to Jesus's name, and I probably do it before I get through talking right now, but I just, that seems to be everything boiled down for me and my friends that try to call me for counsel or anything. It's like, just go ahead and agree with the cross, and any life that we get to live out, let's focus on his reputation, and any worries that we would have, let's talk to him and just say, God, you're really in a spot, aren't you? Because I ain't got nothing to do with this. I died at the cross. I'm, you know, it's you living through me. So if we're going to get through it, you got to, you know, I'm yoked to you. I'm just along for the ride, I guess, is the way I'm trying to look at it. Because I'll mess up anything if I try to do it and step out in front and lead that yoke. And I really want to enjoy the ride. And you were asking what's the next spiritual thing that's going to happen. I believe it's going to be, like Missy was saying, people are going to be put in some hard spots. And we're going to have words of life. And we're going to have to walk in a sober mind that does not joke around with the power that God's putting in our mouths to come out as the kingdom of God. And when we offer mercy to somebody, God's going to back it up. And when we plead with people because they got nowhere else to turn, but they see light in us and words of life, we're going to have to come along and help them find repentance and help them have some hope, because that's the only hope there is in the world. And it's either going to seize their life and restore them, or it's going to say, well, we messed up pretty good, but we'll have this life will be over and we'll step right in to glory. So, you know, if we offer them heaven, they'll get heaven. And if God gives them something else, then glory be to God. Like I said, I knew I'd mess up and talk too much.
No, that was awesome, George. Thank you so much. Everybody's doing good tonight. This is awesome. This is teaching me some stuff. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? It's Jesus in us that he wants to see. Yeah, that's right, Greg. It was just the right amount of talking, George. Amen. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Geneva.
Well, I feel convicted and I feel like I should confess, but I don't know why it's hard for me to do it, because fighting that self, but when we were coming back from our flight back home to Florida, there was this lady who was checking bags, and I never get pulled aside for my bag. It's just like a carry-on. Anyways, she looked at it and she was like, "That's too big." She's like, "You're gonna have to put that under your feet." Well, it was big, and I'm like, "Well, man, I don't know where I'm gonna put my feet." So anyways, we go on the plane flight and I'm looking and I'm like, "Well, there's room. Like, I can just put it overhead. There's plenty of room. Everyone's already sitting down." So anyways, I put it over the head anyways. And so anyways, they're getting the plane ready and we're about to leave. And then all of a sudden, here she comes marching down the aisle. And at this point, like, the plane is packed with people, but there is still space overhead. And she comes up to me and she's like, she goes, "Whose pink bag is this?" And I was like, "Oh gosh." And I was like, "It's mine." And she's like, "Whose?" I was like, "Mine." And so she looked at me, she goes, "I told you." And from everywhere, I was so embarrassed. She was like, "I told you to put it under your feet, not over your head. Give me your card." So she took my card. I was like, "What?" And so I just felt so much anger and rage rise up in me. And I was like, "Morgan, give me your card." Everyone's staring at us. And so I give her a card, she snatches it out of my hand. Like, and I'm not exaggerating, like, this is how she was being. And I was like, "Jezebel." But anyways, but she snatched it out of my hand and then like went down the aisle, and I was just like marched down the aisle. And I was just, I had all these feelings and these thoughts just rise in me. And I'd been doing so good all weekend, like with my family, like I feel like showing love and, you know, being quiet, just learning to be quiet. Like, I don't need to speak, because when I speak, I get myself in trouble. So just, you know, so anyways, I said something I shouldn't have said in front of everybody about her. And then this one lady looked at me, she goes, "Wow." She goes, "She sure is hateful." I was like, "Yeah, she really is." And I said something else about her I shouldn't have said. And then she came back, gave me my card. And I was like, I was just so frustrated. That I got charged for no reason, like $50. And so anyways, I was thinking about it and I was still angry. Like, I was so angry. And then I felt the Lord come over me and tell me to calm down in my emotions. And even Morgan was like, "Geneva, calm down," because I couldn't stop talking about it. And I opened up David Eel's book. Which one was it? Unforgiveness, the one about unforgiveness. And of course it was like perfect word for word, like saying, oh my gosh, I can't remember it off the top of my head, but it was just saying like how, you know, people can return evil and how that's the perfect time right then to pray for them. And if you can't pray for that person who has done wrong to you, then how do you expect the Lord to be able to bless your faith when there's something that you need? You know, or basically you have to have those feelings out of your heart in order for him to be able to answer your prayers. And there was a lot more to it, but I just read it. And, you know, I'm praying and believing for healthy pregnancy and for an awesome natural birth and all these things. And I'm like, "Lord, like, forgive me, forgive my heart, like, be with that woman, be with that Jezebel spirit that is on her,
like be with whatever is going on in her life and her situation that makes her so angry when she rises to come to work like that. And anyways, I just let go of it and I was thankful for it. But I feel that, you know, hearing all this, I'm like, I want to pray and believe that before my emotions hit me, because I know like Claire says too, like, you know, like I know we all have emotions, but especially females, sometimes I feel like, you know, when things happen and at certain times of the month and just being pregnant and everything, it's like emotions can hit. And I don't want to be bound by that curse. Like, I don't want to claim that over me because the Lord has delivered me from that when he died on the cross. And so I just want to, I want God to stop me in my tracks before that spirit rises up in me. And I rebuke that spirit in Jesus' name. But I want God to stop me in my tracks and help me to think and to think godly and to think on that scripture before I act and before I make a move or say something I shouldn't. Because like what George said, I'm sorry if I said your name wrong, but like what he said, like, you know, we're examples of Christ. And I thought about it, I was like, man, I could have been an example of Christ to that lady on that plane that said she was hateful. And I missed it. I missed it. But I was like, Lord, I know you'll give me another opportunity and I can show your name. So anyways, I just want to confess that and explain that to you all.
Amen. Yeah, look for it because it's coming back around. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for all these examples you give us to teach us, get us on that narrow path. Yeah, Julie.
Okay. I'd like to pray for Geneva, if I could. Yes. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, for our dear sister. And thank you, Lord, for her confession of sin. And Lord, you promise in your word, when we confess our sins, you're faithful and righteous to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So, Lord, I know right now that you already cleansed Geneva of this, the anger, the frustration, the criticism, the judging of others, the unfairness, the frustration, the, you know, just the whole flesh thing that she was experiencing there, Lord. And I do lift her up to you, Lord, that the next time she is faced in any kind of circumstance where someone comes against her, unrighteously and judges her and or whatever the circumstance may be, Lord, that she will just zip her lip and she will see that this person, whoever it is, doesn't have Jesus and needs Jesus. And it's not their fault. And that the Holy Spirit in her will take over, Christ in her will take over, and she will be humble and meek and gentle and kind and forgiving. And we just thank you, Lord, that this is already done because your word promises that that part of her is dead. It died on the cross and she doesn't have it anymore. And you've cleansed her of it. And we just pray blessings on Geneva and her baby and her family, Lord, and all the plans that you have for her and getting her mom moved down to Florida. You work out every detail for them. Even provide the extra help and get the cost done cheaper than what they think. You go before them, Lord, with the working on this trailer, providing the materials, providing the extra help and giving them strength and energy and even things that they're not even aware of or even know how to ask, Lord. You go before them and provide and bless them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. What? Anyone else? Yes, Claire.
It has been my experience that airports and airplanes and places where there's a concentration of people with strong wills to do their own things breed this sort of reaction. It's catching. And I would like to pray for everyone who needs to go into public places, airports and use public transport. I pray a hedge of protection for my brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus. And I pray that they would have eyes to see and ears to hear in the spirit, so that they know how to fight and that they can stand and they can withstand these evil arrows, so that they can fall at their feet, because that is where the enemy seems to want to get us, as well as get us when we're alone. He just doesn't stop, but he does not win. He never wins. He never will win, because we know what the word says, and we trust in our God, and we trust in Jesus in us to do the work. So thank you, Lord, for giving our brothers and sisters the wherewithal to know that places like that are filled with the unclean, and that we may have pity on the people who house those spirits, but that we can fight against those spirits from victory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for those women and men. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Yes, it is. Anyone else? Yeah, probably. All right. Anyone else want to say something? Want to comment? Yes, Pat, go ahead.
I was thinking back when I don't remember who it was that I was listening to, right? Some apostate or something way back when. But I was talking about being able to respond, the difference between responding and reacting. And the difference is a time, this guy was saying that there is a time span there. An influence hits us, a negative influence hits us, we tend to react immediately. And I don't remember exactly what he was saying, but the point was to place something in there in order to separate that time frame, so that and give you time to think, so that you can respond instead of react. And he and that thing that I learned at that time, although I have to say that I kind of got out of the habit of it, the thing that I learned was that scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that I punched in the chat. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I don't know exactly why the Lord did that, but he gave me the ability for a time to look at those, whenever that offensive situation arose, to automatically, and the very first thing is give God thanks for that, as recognizing that it was coming through his hand for a particular purpose for me, that he had a plan, or he had a reason for allowing that process to go through. And just that, taking that time just in the midst of that thing to thank God for that, it kind of gave me the time, just the time frame that I needed just to keep my mouth shut, is basically what it was. Because I mean, I used to be, when something hit me, I was right out there. You know, I was number one at defending myself and of course I was always right. That's the problem. but just the ability to put that pause in there and thank God. And really, it really helps because it puts you in a proper frame of reference for this offensive situation. And Jesus said, you know, offenses must come. Like to have him explain that a little further to me, you know, what it, I understand that offenses do come and, you know, is there a good reason for it? I guess there is a good reason for it. But anyway, it was very helpful just to give me a chance to separate the reaction time from the response time. And again, I found that 99% of the time, my response was nothing. My response was simply keeping my mouth shut and letting it continue on. But anyway, I just thought I'd toss that out.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. What was that, Greg? Daniel escaped the neck batter.
She looked like she was biting his neck.
she went biting.
It's a classic mom-son cuddle, Greg. He's got so much warmth, and he's so, like, I just needed to get in there.
Okay, so I'm going on appearances, that's all clear. Thank you for the explanation. sorry, Pat.
I've got some, no, I ain't going to do that.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm learning something tonight. Restraint. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share or talk about? I got a few scriptures here. Go ahead, Joe.
If I can add my two cents on this subject, I guess in a situation in the mornings, or try to be, you know you're gonna to interact with a world. I got a different spirit, and I try most of the time to do it. Is pray the Lord to give me wisdom, whatever situation comes to me per day, on my day. I think is to be preventative on what I'm gonna say, what I'm gonna do, and not go just unprepared. I always try to be prayed up before I go interact with the world, because there are going to be some difficult situations, because I'm different than the world. Not better, but I'm different. That's all I want to say. Thanks.
Amen. Got to be prayed up, don't you, Joe? You sure need to be. Amen, brother. Amen. That's good. I have to be, because I walk around on eggshells all the time around here. I recited a while ago, I wrote down some scriptures about the Lord, what he said. Matthew 11:29, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. In Matthew 20:28, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve That's why we're here. Luke chapter 22 and 27. I'm among you as one who serves. Romans 12 and 10. In love with the brethren, be tenderly affectioned one to another, in honor, preferring one another. Romans 12 and 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Set not your mind on high things, but condescend to things that are lowly. Be not wise in your own conceits. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunts not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not its own, is not provoked, takes not account of evil. And that's just a few of them. There's plenty more in there. And I believe that I'm going to be, after tonight, I'm going to be meditating on these types of scriptures of how humble and lowly that Jesus was while he walked on this earth. Because in my opinion, if we're going to walk like Christ, we have to walk like him in that humble servant attitudes, I believe. Anybody else? Yeah, Steve, go ahead.
Hey, hello, everyone. I've been listening to you guys for years, so I've heard most of the teachings that David does, and I listened to your group every, I think you hold it Wednesday night or something. So, yeah, I've just been listening to you guys for years. I've learned so much.
I'm having trouble understanding.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. It's me. It's not you.
I was just listening to you when you were talking about Corinthians 13. Can you hear me, or are you having trouble hearing me?
No, I can hear you fine now. Yes, I can hear you fine now.
Yeah. I was just listening to you when you were speaking about Corinthians 13, the love of God, you know. I think, you know, what I've learned of God's love, it's so different to the indoctrination that we have been pumped with all of our lives about what love is, you know. And I think, you know, once you understand that God's love is actually a sacrifice, you know, you know, if you look at all of them,
amen.
If you look at all those things in Corinthians 13, you'll notice, if you think about it, each and every one of them is not an emotion, and it's not a feeling, and it's not a gooey, mushy, you know, I love you thing. Every one of those things is a straight up sacrifice of yourself. And I think so many Christians struggle because they think love is what Satan has taught them it is. You know, it's just this soapy, soppy rubbish that you see on television. But when they encounter God's love, and when God, you know, you're born again and you have that wonderful little time at the start of your walk, and then God expects you to grow up. So we don't understand what God's love is. So when God takes us into the wilderness, and David preaches all the time, people don't understand what's going on. They don't. Because you're told in church, in that stupid building where they teach rubbish, you're told that you're going to be blessed and, all these wonderful things are going to happen, but you're not told that love will actually crucify your self nature. And because people don't understand this, they don't understand what God's doing in their life. So I just think it's very, very important that we get out of our heads what we used to think love was, because it's nothing like that. It's the exact opposite. And then if you read Corinthians 13 with that new lens, you'll understand what's going on in your life, and you'll be able to work with God instead of thinking he's angry at you the whole time, which is what I thought at the start, because I was brought up in a church that was very law-based, and this ministry helped get me out of that after quite a struggle. But I just wanted to voice that, because I just think it's so important that people understand what God's love is compared to what the whole world thinks love is.
Amen. Well said, Steve.
Thank you.
Yeah, Missy.
Couple verses that the Lord brings to my mind all the time is the Lord said, love one another as I've loved you, and no greater love have a man than lay down his life for his friend. And that's exactly what Steve was talking about. It's selfless, it's sacrificial, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I could go on and on, but those are ones that the Lord often reminds me of, and should I say remind myself of, and should I say it's the spirit man in me, which is Jesus, that reminds me of that. So it's in that area, it's something that the Lord is really putting in me, reminding me all the time, and it helps you put to death the deeds of the body. If you live after the flesh, you must die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. So amen. Thanks, Steve, for sharing. That was great. Bless you.
Yes, you will. Thank you, Missy. Amen. Anyone else? Somebody want to read 1 Corinthians 13? Ooh. Ready? Yeah. Yeah, Claire. You want to read it? Where'd she go?
I'm happy.
It would be so lovely.
I knew that it. I was waiting for it.
Go for it.
If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge,
And if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not its own. Is not provoked. Taketh not account of evil. Rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth with the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I am become a man, I have put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as I also was fully known. But now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, and the greatest of these is love.
Amen. Thank you, Claire. That was awesome. Amen. What's the greatest of the commandments? I'm just asking. Oh, Julie, we got an answer. Go, girl.
The Lord said, when he was asked that question by a scribe, I think it was a scribe, he said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And I believe he said the full commandments are fulfilled in those first two commandments. It's all fulfilled in love.
Amen. And if you think about it, they are. Because you're not going to steal from your neighbor. You know, you're not going to do anything against your neighbor. Amen. You're not going to come against that Jezebel spirit on an airline. Amen. Just had to put that in there, Geneva. I'm sorry.
There's that. I couldn't resist. You know that saying, golden rule, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have others do unto you.
Yeah.
It's kind of where that, I think, kind of that comes from.
Yeah. Oh, I did want to ask Greg something about, well, let's do it after we get off the broadcast here, about the what's going on down there. Yes, Pat.
I was just thinking about that right at the very end there of that, the reading there says, but when that which is perfect or complete, I'm assuming that means complete. Usually that word perfect means that. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And then he speaks about when I was a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And then verse 12, it said, now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. And I was thinking of that scripture. What is it? Corinthians 3:18, looking in that mirror. I used to think these, when I would read these back, way back when I was beginning, that this meant when that which was perfect has come, not automatically the thought came up, when I go to heaven, when I'm in heaven, and then that perfect thing, it will be in heaven, and then I will look through the mirror, then I will know even as though as I am known, etc. But it has been just these last few years that it's quite apparent that this perfect, this place of perfection or completeness, that that thing that we think perfect is, we tend to think that it is it's a different thing, like a perfectionist or something like that, a perfectionist attitude, when God is just saying that that is a place of completeness where it was a child and now has grown into that man of maturity, etc. And that mirror, looking in that mirror, is Jesus. And that's when we are, that whole perfection or completeness is when we turn from the immaturity of a child and enter into and see that Jesus perfectly in the mirror. So it kind of struck me there at the end that I hadn't really thought about before, but anyway.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? All right, well, we got a few minutes left. Anybody else got something they'd like to add? It's been a good night. I enjoyed this. I learned some humility. I needed to. What are you laughing about, Joe? Quit that laughing. All right. Okay, it's been an interesting night. I enjoyed it very much. And I welcome all the, Steve, welcome to you. Where are you at? Where are you located? Are you in?
I'm down near Melbourne in Australia.
Okay, well, we'll pray for you, brother. Y'all are having some problems down there. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
All right. Let's see. Did I have somebody else in here also? Yeah. Claire's just right across the street there. She lives over in Devil Land, Tasmania or something like that. Tasmanian Devil. When you told me that, I instantly thought of that cartoon, you know. Is that you, Malcolm? How you doing, brother?
Who, me?
Yes, your name Malcolm?
I think so.
All right. Yeah, I'll be talking to you. Everybody getting better?
The neat thing is my sister-in-law survived the night last night. And it was kind of touch and go, but anyway, she's on 10 liters of oxygen a minute, last I heard.
Awesome. Okay. All right. I guess we can pray now. Oh, I'm going to ask... Pat, do you mind praying us out tonight? You have to unmute.
Sorry, Father, thank you for this delightful day and just the work that you're doing in us, Lord. Thank you for your patience that you put in each and every one of us. thank you for the life of Jesus that you allow to permeate our life and just to block out and take out the old man and put him on the cross. And we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you that it was done in you. And we just simply need to walk it out. And we thank you for bringing those circumstances into our lives to help us do exactly that. Lord, we thank you that your plan was devised even at the foundation of the world. You knew exactly and know exactly what it takes for each and every one of us to make it through this process and to become that person that you created and to live up to the high calling of Christ Jesus that you have given each and every one of us. We thank you for that. We just bless you tonight, Lord. We thank you for a good night's sleep for everybody. We thank you for strength to encounter and take on the day. Lord, we thank you for the benefit of being able to bring our cares before you and our worries and whatever else that we have in our lives to bring before you, and that you deal with it righteously and show us how to stand in faith and walk in your peace. And thank you, Lord, for allowing us to take your yoke upon us and give us grace, Lord, to learn of you in all of our ways. So, Father, we thank you for it. Just bless this night. I bless my brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus. And thank you for it. Amen. Are you talking?